Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
1 Samuel chapter number 1, and I've enjoyed studying back through prayer. I'm sure that I'll not get done with everything tonight that I've got wrote down about this. I'm sure it'll probably end up falling into next week too, but that'll be all right. I want to look at this story of Hannah for a little while tonight here in chapter number 1 of 1 Samuel. Amen. Boy, I love my Bible tonight, don't you? You know, say that, I love my Bible tonight, don't you? And it don't just contain the words of God, it is God. I believe that with all my heart, amen? And in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1, verse about 14, 15, 16, somewhere right in there. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And I love my Bible. Can I tell you something about your Bible? It's inexhaustible tonight. It don't matter how many times you read it. It don't matter how many times you go through a text. Matter of fact, this morning in devotions at the sheriff's office, Brother Brad, what's his last name? Questenberry. Brother Brad Questenberry done devotions this morning, pastor of Community Baptist Church, and he done them on Peter walking on the water, and he took a completely different approach to it that I'd ever heard, and he dealt with the mind and keeping focused on what you need to be focused on, and how Peter lost focus that day and didn't keep a focus, his mind right. And I'm telling you, it was tremendous. It's just a reminder to me, you can't exhaust the Word of God, amen? And I love it tonight. I like what Brother William said on Saturday. He said, Brother Bobby Robertson said years ago, if you'll read as a preacher, not just a preacher, this ought to go to everybody, if you'll read 5 chapters a day in the Bible, you'll never run out of anything to preach. And that's the truth, amen? Some of these preachers, you know, sometimes say, well, I just can't find nothing to preach. You know what they're saying? I don't read my Bible. Amen. That's exactly what they're saying. Amen. And I love my Bible tonight and thank God for it. Amen. You know, there's no excuse not to read your Bible. In the day and age that we live, in the technology that we have, you can listen to your Bible anywhere you go. And you know what? It'd be a good thing to do every once in a while is turn everything else off and turn the Bible on. Riding up the road, listen to the Bible, man. And you've heard me say it before, but the Bible is that. It puts different voices in there. And when different people talk, you just be careful when you get over there, that Gadarean maniac, though. I was going up, when y'all heard me tell that, so I was going up the road one day, and he was reading, Brother Aaron, about that Gadarean maniac, and them demons got to screaming. Anybody that's ever been through that passage in that app knows what I'm talking about. I about wrecked the truck, man. I turned it off and started singing, there's power in the blood. But anyway, there's no excuse not to get in the Bible, amen, and thank the Lord for it. Matter of fact, there's study Bibles that you can get free downloads on now. And, man, it's a great, great tool. Get in your Bible, amen. 1 Samuel tonight records the story of the prayer of Hannah, and not just the prayer of Hannah, but God answering her prayer. And I want to look at some things in it tonight. Look with me. Let's just pick up in verse number 9 of 1 Samuel chapter number 1. The Bible said, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in the bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord. If you write in your Bible, and I'm going to come back to that here in just a little while, but I'd invite you to underline that word continued right there. It wasn't just she went to the Lord one time and then said that's no. She continued praying. Amen. The Bible said, and as it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now, go to verse 15 for the sake of time. And Hannah answered and said, now, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrow, of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Look in verse number 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Now note again, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Father, I pray that you'd help us for a little while as we look into your word tonight. I pray, God, that we would get understanding from it. God, I pray, Lord, that we would rightly divide the words of truth tonight. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to talk to you some more tonight. We looked at prayer last Wednesday night. But I want to talk to you some more tonight on the subject of prayer. D.L. Moody once said this, I'd rather be able to pray than be a great preacher. Jesus Christ never taught his disciples how to preach, but only how to pray. I believe we can say that Moody was well aware of the importance of prayer in the Christian's life. Not only was Moody aware of it, but so were the disciples. Listen to what your Bible said in Luke chapter number 11 and verse number 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. There's several things that we could say about that verse. I'll not spend much time on it, but I'll say this. Number one, you'll never teach nobody something that you don't know yourself. And the reason that the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, is because they had saw the Lord praying himself. Now, I want to ask you this question. Would somebody ask you, teach me how to pray? Do they know that you know how to pray? So they saw the Lord praying, and it's interesting. They said, Lord, would you teach us how to do that? Lord, would you teach us how to pray? Would you teach us how to talk to God? Now, it's interesting again that they didn't say, Lord, teach us how to teach. They didn't say, Lord, teach us how to heal nobody. They didn't say, Lord, teach us how to cast demons out. Matter of fact, they didn't even say, Lord, teach us how to preach. You know what they said? Lord, teach us how to pray. Because I want to say something to you tonight. You'll never teach the way that you need to teach. You'll never preach the way that you need to preach. You'll never be the Christian that you need to be until you first learn how to pray. Learning how to pray. And they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. They wanted to know how to pray. They wanted to know how to pray. Personally, I think Hannah gives us a great example in the Old Testament of how to pray. We not only see her praying, but we also see her getting answers to her prayer. There's a lot of times that we see people praying in the Old Testament, but not every time do we see God answering those prayers. But I want to say this to you tonight. As we look into the prayer of Hannah tonight, we not only see her praying, but we see God answering her prayer. But not just her praying and God answering her prayer. We see her getting her prayer answered exactly the way she asked for it. Exactly what she asked. God done exactly what she asked for. I'll just say this to you tonight. Evidently, she knew how to pray. Evidently, she knew how to get an ear with the Lord. Matter of fact, you remember what Nehemiah said? He said, Lord, would you let thine ear now be attentive to the prayer that thy servant makes unto thee? And before we're done with prayer, we'll look at the prayer of Nehemiah. But I want to say this to you tonight. We need to know how to pray, amen? We need to know how to pray. And as we look at this, I believe that we can see some lessons on praying tonight. Number one tonight, I want you to see this one. I want you to see the purpose of prayer. What is the purpose of prayer? Verse number 10 said that Hannah prayed unto the Lord. Why did Hannah pray? Why do we pray? What is the reason and the purpose of our praying? Philip Brooks, the great preacher from Boston in the 1800s, said this: a prayer in its simplest definition is merely a wish turned Godward. It's merely a wish turned Godward. Here are two practical thoughts about the purpose of our praying tonight. Watch this with me. I see this. The request or the purpose of our praying is to request things from God. That's what it is. We request things from God. We tell God, we share God our needs. You say, well, preacher, God knows everything. You're right. But you know what? Every once in a while, He wants to hear it from us. You're right. He does know what we need before we even ask Him. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about that. We're going to say something to you tonight. Prayer is a time for us to request things from God. Every once in a while, I know my kids need something. You know what, I would do it for them anyway, but it's nice to have them say, hey, Dad, I need this. You know what we do whenever we are praying? Matter of fact, the Bible said this in Romans. He said, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, which means Papa is what that means. And that's not disrespectful, but we say this. We say He's our Heavenly Father. When we pray, it's simply this: hey, Dad, I need this. I'm not showing disrespect to God in saying that, and I'll deal more with a reverence in our prayer in just a minute, but it's simply telling God what we need. That's what Hannah does in verse number 11. We find her asking, give unto thine handmaid a man child. You see in verse number 5 and verse number 6, we find out that the Lord had shut up her womb. Hannah was barren, unable to have a child. And when we see her praying, we find her requesting that God would not just give her a child, but that God would give her a man child, that God would give her a son. Prayer, simply defined, is our coming to God and asking Him for certain things. At times, we ask Him for what concerns us personally. This is often indicated by what a word that we refer to as supplication. This word is very common in the Bible and usually speaks of bringing our personal needs to the Lord. At other times, we ask Him for concerning others. This is indicated by the word intercession. Intercession is prayer with a focus not as much on our needs, but on the needs of someone else. Think about this. Whenever we think about prayer, whether asking for things that concern ourselves personally or others, is a matter of asking God. The Bible said this in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter number 21, in verse number 22. In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. Prayer simply is asking God. It is a request to God. Not only is it a time that we're requesting things from God, but prayer, watch this. Prayer is this. It's a time to receive things from God. It's a time to receive things from God. Hannah not only requested a son from the Lord, but she also received one. Can I just say that again? She just didn't request a son. God gave her one, verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the Lord God of Israel grant thee thy petitions that thou hast asked of him. In verse number 20 we read, and she bare a son. There was a request for her as well as a reception to her. Yes, she made her request, but thank God prayer is a time that we receive answers from God. I don't always receive the exact answer I want, and we talked about that last week, but it is a time of receiving things from God. Jesus defined prayer when he said this, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. The purpose of prayer is to request things from God that we might receive things from God. Amen. Prayer is to be more than mere words that rise no higher than the ceiling. Prayer is the means by which we ascend to the very throne of God, ask God for things, and then actually get those things from God when we ask for the right things. I read this illustration. Let me share it with you. It said, an overweight businessman decided it was time to shed some excess pounds. He took his new diet seriously, even changing his driving route to avoid his favorite bakery. One morning, however, he arrived at work carrying a coffee cake. Everyone scolded him, but his smile remained cherubim. This is what he said. This is a very special coffee cake. I accidentally drove by the bakery this morning, and there in the window were a host of goodies. I felt this was no accident, so I prayed. And here's what I said. Lord, if you want me to have one of these delicious coffee cakes, let me have a parking place directly in front of the bakery. And sure enough, the eighth time around, there was an open spot. Can I just say something? The reason we don't have things sometimes is because we don't ask for them. It's because we don't ask for them. Maybe we don't drive around eight times to see if it's going to open up. But what did James say? James said this in chapter 4, verse number 2. You have not because you ask not. Maybe the reason you're not seeing God do that for you is because you're not asking Him for it. You know what? I really believe this with all of my heart. And I'm going to say more about fasting as we get closer to three nights of a special meeting here at the church. But can I say this? Maybe the reason we're not seeing God move the way that we want Him to is because we're not asking Him to. Maybe the reason you've not seen that friend saved or that family member saved is because you're not asking Him to. Well, the purpose of prayer. But number two, watch this. And here's really where I want to center in at for just a little bit. And I'll try to get through this one, and then we'll see where we're at on time. Not only the purpose of prayer, but I want you to note this. I think in these verses we see the procedure of prayer. You said, preacher, is there a right way and a wrong way to pray? I believe we could say yes to that. I really do. I believe that we could say yes to that. There is an inappropriate way to approach the throne of grace. And let me just say this in passing. I'll say more about it in just a minute. Whenever we pray, we've got to remember who we're talking to. We're just not talking. Man, we're talking to the Creator of the world, Brother Dennis, that set the stars where they're at. He didn't, me and Brother Dennis, and you just got to understand all that. Let me fill you in. I said he flung them out, and Brother Dennis said he didn't fling the stars out. He said the Bible said that he set them. And you know, when you think about that, when you think, let me just run this rabbit. I've really been doing good lately, not running rabbits, so let me run one. When you think about just flinging them out there, that's what. But to think that God took each star and set it in place and set, that's an amazing, that's who we're talking to tonight when we pray. The procedure. In Hannah, we not only have an example of one who prayed unto the Lord, but we also have her great example on how she prayed to the Lord. She asked and received. She didn't or she did pray, but she not only prayed, she received what she was praying for. How she prayed really is a sermon within itself, and I'm just going to throw it out, and then we might come back and preach it. I'm going to try to throw it out. I might get bogged in it. There's six simple things in this procedure to her prayer that I want you to see tonight. Note this with me. The first one is this. In her prayer, the procedure of our prayer, it was specifically. Look in verse number 11 in your Bible. The Bible said this, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. She prayed specifically. She said, this right here is what I need. You know what I think that we're missing a lot of times in our prayer? It's not, and hear me, we need to pray, God save souls. But we need to start being specific in that. Who is those names? Those souls have a name. She prayed, she just didn't say, oh God, if it be your will, let me have a baby. She said, no, Lord, I want a man child. She was specific in what she prayed. And I want to say this to you tonight, church. We should pray that way. God, I pray that you not just do whatever you want to do. Now, I understand what I'm saying. We do pray for His will. But I believe that we ought to be specific in that. I've said this many times. You need to learn how to pray with a prayer list. You need to learn how to pray with a prayer list. And you say, well, preacher, I can't close my eyes when I pray with a prayer list. It'll be all right. I don't close my eyes when I pray when I'm driving. Tried it one time and it didn't work out. Got a pink slip to prove it. No, I'm just picking. But watch this. When you pray, you know what you do? Here's what you close your eyes and you begin to pray. And 5 minutes into it, now if you're honest, your mind starts going somewhere else. Man, I need to be doing this, and I need to be doing that, and I need to be doing this. And you'll forget half. I wonder what would happen instead of saying, God, I pray that you'd help everybody at the church if you started praying specifically. God, I pray that you'd help Brother Ted and Miss Susan. And let me tell you what would happen. Your 5-minute praying will turn into your 50-minute praying. Or turn into your hour and a half praying. Well, I ain't got time for that. Well, do we really want to see God do something? It's not that we don't have time for something. It's that we don't prioritize what needs to be. We've got time. We've got time. We've got plenty of time. It's what we do with the time that we have. I'm preaching good right there. God, I pray that you'd help Brother Allen and Mrs. Jan. Lord, wherever they're at right now, whatever meeting they're in, I pray that you help them. You know what I do? A lot of times I pray sitting in that seat. And you've heard me say it before, and the reason that I pray sitting right here, especially if I don't have my prayer list with me, because I can go through those seats and call your name. Now, some of y'all need to quit moving around so much. I'm praying for y'all 4 or 5 times, okay? Because I pray for you where you normally sit, and then you're over here, and I got to pray for you over there. And the reason things might be going better for you is because I'm praying for you 4 or 5 times. If it's going worse for you, you need to pray for me because evidently I ain't getting through. Watch this. Praying specifically. Instead of praying, God help Sunday school, what if you said, God, my Sunday school teacher is Brother Stan and Brother John. Lord, I pray that you'd help them this week. You'll pray every day for them. God, help them to give me something when I go in that class. And if you've got kids, you ought to know your Sunday school teacher's name, their Sunday school teacher's name. You ought to pray for them. I'm preaching good. I about said I'm praying good. I'm preaching good. You ought to pray for them every day. Let me tell you the reason why, especially if they're younger kids. You know what they're doing? They're establishing. They're establishing their first Bible stories from somebody besides you. And I hope you're establishing them. I hope you're establishing them. And what's happening is this, as you're telling them to them at home, they're coming to Sunday school if you're bringing them. If you hadn't caught this yet, I'm preaching really good on coming to Sunday school. Coming to Sunday school. God help you if you can get to work on time, but you can't come to Sunday school. I might just need to bog in and chase that rabbit a little while. Amen. You ought to come to Sunday school. You're being Sunday school. Sunday school is as important as a 11 o'clock service, as a 5 o'clock service, and as a Wednesday night. Amen. That's good. Some of you Sunday school teachers say amen right there. Come Sunday school. Here's what's happening. You're teaching your kids at home these Bible stories. And then you're bringing them to Sunday school. You know what's happening in Sunday school? This right here is being established. Let it be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So you know what's happening? They're hearing mom and daddy teach it, but then you're bringing them to church, and guess what's happening? Well, it's not just mom and daddy's words no more. It's being taught at Sunday school. You know what they're saying? Well, maybe there is something to this. That's the reason you need to pray for them. It's the reason you need to pray for them. Pray specifically. Pray for them. I could say a whole lot more about that, but I'm going to move on. Pray specifically, but watch this. She not only prayed specifically, watch this. She prayed submissively. She prayed submissively. It has been well said that nothing lies outside the reach of prayer except that which lies outside the will of God. When we look at Hannah in prayer, we find that she placed her prayer within the boundaries of God's will. Know what the Bible said in verse number 11. If thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child. Hannah never doubted that God could give her a son, but that he would give her a son. She said, if thou wilt. She never doubted that he could do it. She doubted whether he would do it. So she said, if thou wilt. That's what she asked. She was asking God to give her son if it was his will to do that. The Bible said this in 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to what his will, he heareth us. This we need to remember about prayer. Prayer is never about getting our will done in heaven, but God getting his will done on earth. It's not about us getting our will done in heaven. It's about God getting his will done on earth. With Jesus, we must pray, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus said, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You know what he was saying? He was saying, God, I want your will more than anything else. And in our prayer, we must be submissive in our prayer and say, God, if it's your will, if it's your will, if it's your will. If you've ever prayed anywhere with me much, you've heard me pray this. Lord, over the next few minutes, I'm going to tell you some things that is my will, but God, I want your will to be done in this. I want you, you know what you do when you say, Lord, would you do this? You're saying, God, this is what my will is. It's really what we're saying. This is what we want. But at the end of the day, it's not about what we want, unless it lines up with what he wants. And she was submissively praying to him. Lord, it's not about me, but it's about, Lord, I sure would love to have this man child. God, I sure would love to have a baby if it is your will. If it is your will. So we see this. She not only prayed specifically, she not only prayed submissively, but watch this with me. She prayed steadfastly. She prayed steadfastly. Look in verse number 12. And it came to pass as she what? continued praying. Continued praying. It came to pass she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Eli marking her mouth means that he watched her mouth. It would seem that Hannah did not pray out loud, but expressed her petitions quietly, and Eli saw her lips as they moved in prayer. The truth that I want you to see is that she prayed continually. She prayed steadfastly. She prayed steadfastly. She prayed continually. So many times, we hear a message on prayer, we study on prayer, and we read E.M. Bounds on prayer. If you've never read his books on prayer, you ought to read them. They're probably the best that there is. I believe it was John R. Rice. Mom, you can help me with that if I'm wrong. I think it was John R. Rice that wrote Fasting Your Way Back to Health. Was it him that wrote that book? J. Harold Smith wrote Fasting Your Way Back to Health, and we read that book on fasting and praying, and you know, we get Array for God. Matter of fact, if you find any of them less than about $300 or $400, let me know and I'll buy them. I buy every one that you can find for less than that. Those books, they $500, $600, $700 now. And you say, have you got one? Yeah, but I'll not tell you where it's at. You'll not find it in my office. But we get that book down, and we read the stories of Dr. Ray, and they had poured all the cement on that great big tabernacle in Myrtle, Mississippi, and one of them come up to him right as they got all that cement poured and said, there's a storm in town coming this way, and he prayed. Dr. Ray prayed. He knelt down and prayed there and said, Lord, this is your money, this is your concrete. We'd appreciate if you keep the rain off of it. And the rain got to that pad, Brother Lloyd, it split and went around that pad, and not a drop of water ever hit that pad. Matter of fact, we can take it a step further. We can talk about the stories. It's in the book on the Foothouse Revival of that major storm that was blowing straight towards the tent in 2016. Matter of fact, just about in rock-throwing distance of the tent, trees was blowed down, straight-line winds, and we sat in the tent that night, and the wind didn't even hardly blow. You could literally watch it on the radar split and go around that tent. And boy, we read about things like that, and we hear about things like that, and for a day or two or three or a week or two, man, we're steadfastly in our prayer. But I want to tell you something, God. It's not about praying for a day or for 2 days or 3 days or for a month or for 2 months. It's continuing in prayer. It's continuing in it. Matter of fact, the Bible said this, that we're to pray without ceasing. She prayed steadfastly. She continued praying. She continued praying. 21 years, am I right, Brother Tim? I missed it last time. 24, maybe I'll get it next week. 24 years that he prayed for his sister before she got saved. Continue praying. Watch this, she prayed steadfastly. I'm not going to get through even this tonight. Let me give you one more. Not only when we look at Hannah's prayer tonight, it's specifically, it's submissively, it's steadfastly. But watch this, she prayed seriously. She prayed seriously. I don't know what the Bible said in verse number 10. The Bible said, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She tells Eli in verse number 15, I have poured out my soul before the Lord. This is no casual, half-hearted praying on Hannah's part. We find her weeping before God. She is pouring her soul out to the Lord. There is, can I say it this way? There is great fervency in her prayer. There's great fervency in it. What did the Bible say in James chapter number 5? He said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I want to just say this to you tonight. That doesn't mean that she was screaming to the top of her lungs. Matter of fact, just because someone prays really loud doesn't mean that it's a fervent prayer. Matter of fact, this prayer that she was praying seriously, that was no doubt a fervent prayer to the Lord. I just showed you that Eli marked her mouth. She was probably praying quietly. I'm just going to throw this out in passing. It'd be good if you would learn to pray some prayers quietly. Here's the reason why. The devil don't know everything. God's the only one that's all-knowing. And when you're battling something in your mind, and you're battling some kind of great temptation, or you're battling this, or you're battling that, you know, Satan may not know exactly what you're battling, but when you go to praying out loud and he hears that, don't you think he's going to tempt you even greater in that? She's no doubt, is not even loud when she's praying. Fervent praying does not mean that it's loud praying. Fervent praying does not mean that there's nothing wrong with loud praying. I remember Brother Jimmy Millsap said one time, he was an older preacher, told him, and I can't even remember who it was, but he told him, he said, God's not deaf. God's not deaf. And said, when you need something from your Father, he said, I've seen men pray and beat on the floor and beat on the walls. He said, when you need something from your Father, do you beat on the floor and beat on the walls and scream to the top of your lungs? You know what he was simply saying? He was simply saying this, fervent praying don't mean that we're screaming and hollering. And there is times that we agonize with the Lord. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you something. Her praying was serious, man. She got in tune with God. She was in tune with the King of Kings. Miss Daniel, you should come and start playing self. Ian Bounds wrote this. Again, if you've never read his works on prayer, there's, what, 6 or 7 books that he wrote. You can buy them all in one big book. Tremendous, tremendous. Prayer without fervor stakes nothing on the issue because it has nothing to stake. It comes with empty hands. Hands to which are listless as well as empty, which have never learned the lesson of clinging to the cross. Fervorless prayer has no heart in it. It is an empty thing, an unfit vessel. Heart, soul, and life must find place in all real praying. Heaven must be made to feel the force of this crying unto God. He goes on to describe fervency in prayer as fervency has its seat in the heart, not in the brain, nor in the intellectual facilities of the mind. Fervency, therefore, is not an expression of the intellect. Fervency of the spirit is something else besides mere preference. The constraining of like with dislike. Fervency in prayer is pouring out the soul before God. It is our emotions being engaged in prayer. We come before God with a longing heart. We weep before God as we cry out to Him in prayer. And I say this to you tonight, Lord, teach us to pray. But Lord, teach us to pray fervently. Teach us to pray seriously. Teach us to pray fervently. We'll pick this up again next week, but she prayed selflessly. She not only prayed selflessly, but she prayed sacredly. You say, why do you say that? Because she said, O Lord of hosts. She said, O Lord of hosts. I want to ask you a question of the night, the procedures of our prayer. It's one thing to pray, but it's another thing to get in touch with God. The old timers would say it this way. We grab a hold of the horns of the altar and not get up until we have prayed through. Till we have prayed through. A lot of people don't even understand what that is. But if you know what it is, you know what it is. I'll never forget one Sunday morning, I for several weeks, Brother Josh had been talking to me, Josh Jenkins. He told me, he said, "Preacher, it just seems that the heavens are as brass." He said, "I've tried to pray," and he said, "I don't feel like praying." And I said, "You know what Spurgeon said, don't you?" He said, "What's that?" I said, "Spurgeon said, if you don't feel like praying, then pray until you do. If you don't feel like praying, you pray until you do." He said, "Well, preacher, it just seems like I can't get through anymore." And I said, "Well, buddy, I'll be helping you pray about it." And one Sunday morning, I was preaching over in the old building. It's still, when the platform was small, I hadn't been here long, probably a couple years. Brother Josh came to the altar about halfway through the message, came to the altar, knelt in the altar. Wasn't screaming and praying out loud. And I just say something to you. Let me just say something to you. When the preacher's preaching and somebody's in the altar praying and they're louder than the preacher preaching and they're taking attention off of the man of God that's exhorting the Word of God that's called by God to do that, I question why they're in the altar praying. Is it about bringing attention to them? Boy, it got real quiet right then. But that's okay. If that killed it, it needed to be killed. There's nothing no more important than the preaching of God's Word. Nothing. Nothing no more important than that. We went to the altar quietly, but fervently was praying. Fervently was praying. I got done preaching. I gave the altar call. After the altar call, he was still in the altar praying. I closed service out. Everybody left. He was still in the altar praying. I had a little office. At the time, we had took two closets and took a wall out of those two closets. Some of y'all remember this. I had a little bitty office where that closet was at. We made two little closets into one little office. And I'd went back there like I normally do on Sunday mornings, and I'd started studying while Miss Leslie was fixing lunch. Whenever I went to my office, Brother Williams, he's still in the altar praying. Say, "You didn't go pray with him?" Nope, him and the Lord. Sometimes best thing to do is just let people and the Lord work it out. I'm all for praying with people, but I knew what was going on. I went back there. I don't know, I guess people have been gone 30 or 45 minutes. I was starting to get hangry, wondering why Miss Leslie didn't have lunch done yet and why she hadn't called me and told me to come eat. And all of a sudden, I heard a high-pitched voice start shouting in the sanctuary. And I said, "He got through." I let him shout for probably 2 or 3 minutes. I walked out in the sanctuary. Tears were running down his face. He said, "Preacher, I've got through." He said, "Preacher," he said, "I'm going to go home and eat. I've got through." You know what he was saying? He was saying this: "I'm going to be serious about this thing. I ain't getting up till I hear from him." How serious we are about our praying. She was serious. She continued. She just didn't pray a little bit. Man, she was steadfast in that thing. She stayed with it. She prayed and she prayed and she prayed. If you've ever prayed through, and we're fixing to go home, but if you've ever prayed through, there's just nothing like that. There's just nothing like that. Years ago, one Sunday morning, and can I just say this to you? When you give illustrations on prayer, you ought not have to give them about everybody else. Remember one Sunday morning, me and Jake, Scotty, when both of them were still here, me and Jake and Scotty. Mater was with us, I'm almost positive. And Todd McKeon. Todd McKeon was going to preach for us that Sunday morning. I told him, I said, "Hey, look, Saturday night about 10 o'clock, we decided we was going to go up on the mountain and pray." Matter of fact, that's scriptural. Jesus went apart on the mountain and prayed. Separated himself from everybody, went apart and prayed. So we're going to go up on the mountain and pray. He said, "All right." I said, "Just be here at the church about 5:30. And we'll go up there and pray." We went up to Daddy's cabin, parked at Daddy's cabin, and walked back up in a pine thicket back up in there and got to praying. Man, I'm telling you, it got real. It got real. And all of a sudden, it's up there on the side of the mountain. All of a sudden, Brother Todd's voice, he started shouting. I heard him just break loose shouting. And I thought, man, that's good. And I just tell you something, shouting's contagious. You just get around it. You know what? You'll find your... You let somebody else start shouting. I thought, man, he's got in the honey bucket over there. And all of a sudden, his voice changed directions. If you've ever been outside much, you know what I'm saying. His voice completely changed directions. And I thought, well, we up here on the side of the hill. He better be careful. Bro Williams, I just had to open my eyes. I was laying on the ground. I was laying flat out on the ground, prostrate out on the ground. And I turned my head and opened my eyes. And Todd was walking around up there shaking hands with the pine trees, as Brother Bud Wishon would say. Shouting, saying, Lord, I just want to thank you for what you've done. God, I just want to praise your name. Lord, for who you are. You know what had happened? He had got steadfast in his praying. He decided, I'm just going to pray until I ring the prayer bells. God, help us to be steadfast in it. Help us to be steadfast in it.